Exodus chapter 3, and we're reading in verse 13. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Now, we're talking about the holiness of God, and we're using a scripture. Our main scripture doesn't even mention the word holiness, but that name does. Because holiness is not how we act. It's not a conduct. Our conduct should match holiness, but it's wholeness. Oh, I'm about to give you something good. Are you ready? We're talking about the completeness of God. And God is omnipresent. And all of God is wherever he is. And where is he? He's everywhere, right? All of him is everywhere. That's good news. That's the holiness of God. But when we talk about, I think it's Psalm 29, talks about we worship him because of the beauty of his holiness. That Hebrew word for holiness means dedicated. So I want to give you this. Not only is he complete wherever he is, all of him is there, but he's also dedicated to you. Fully, totally dedicated to you. What about this mistake I made? We tend to think of it from a human perspective. If I've rubbed somebody the wrong way, they'll kind of avoid me. Anybody know that? But God will never do that. He is dedicated to you. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. And we know that he's not partial, right? The Bible says he's not partial. And when we look at that word partial, we think, okay, he doesn't play favorites. But that partiality means he doesn't divvy himself up. You get all of God all the time. The worst sinner and the best Christian meet the same God. Always. Man, that's good news. Now, I want you to go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. That word partial in the New Testament means not to be parted. So it's not like we're cutting God up like some kind of pie. Are we? No, he's all there. I am. And present tense. Not I was, not I will be. I am who I am. We tend to project who we are onto God. He's not who you are, he's who he is. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." Now, if you've got even a hint of religion left in your thinking, then when you read that, I'm just speaking from experience, I'd read that, oh, man, that's hard to do. In fact, I put on Facebook today out of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 7, and I used the Message version. That's Eugene Peterson. And it was potent. I mean, potent. And somebody commented on there, "Wow, that's really... really awesome, but boy, that's hard to live up to." Have you thought of that? When we talk about this, be holy for I'm holy, does that thought ever hit you? Wow, that's really hard to live up to. I mean, we need to be holy like God is holy. Anybody else struggle with that? Come on now, I think that's every one of us, right? He mentions our conduct, right? But we're to conduct ourselves knowing that we are holy. That's what he's saying. He's not saying attain holiness. You're already holy. Make the actions of your life and the choices that you make match who you are. Who are you? You are like I am. That's what he's saying. Wow, that's good, man. In fact, verse 15 from the Message, again, Eugene Peterson, listen to this. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life. A life energetic and blazing with holiness. We're being drawn in. This can't be religious obligation because that would violate freedom, wouldn't it? We've been called to freedom. Galatians 5:13 says, you've been called to freedom, only do not use freedom as an opportunity for your flesh, but through love serve one another. That word freedom means exempt from obligation and liability. So if there's a religious obligation here because God said, be holy, because I'm holy, you be holy. Can't be that. Because if he's obligating us, then we're no longer free. Can you see this? Now, you keep your place there in 1 Peter. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, we read it a couple weeks ago. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, what does holiness mean? It means wholeness, right? We're talking about wholeness. And the word saved there, where it says you've been saved, have been saved, past tense, have been saved, that word saved there means to be whole, to make whole. It's wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. So you are holy. If I did the survey before we started this series, if I'd ask you how many people are here are holy, you wouldn't know whether or not you should raise your hand or not. I think that's most people. But we're getting revelation that holiness is in you. Why? He's in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. He's holy. So guess what? I'm holy. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, it says, love has been, is that past tense in your Bible? Has been perfected, or you could say completed among us, in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. When is that going to take place? It's now, right? You're the same as him. And again, think of the context. He's talking about boldness on the day of judgment, the great white throne of judgment. How else could you be bold other than you know you're already taken care of? I'm in. I'm already righteous. Glory to God. I'm like him. I'm holy just like he's holy. Amen. Now, I told you to keep your place there in 1 Peter. Watch this. Skip down to verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now, this is after he said, be holy for I'm holy. In all your conduct, be holy, right? This is after that. And then he says, since you have purified your souls. How did you do it? How did you purify your souls? That sounds contrary because it's like, my righteousness is filthy rags. Did I do enough right things? Well, he did say in obeying the truth. What is the truth? The truth is you're holy. I'm going to say it again. The truth is you're holy. You obey that. Obey that truth. It's not a list of thou shalt not. It never is. Are you with me? Obey the truth. That's how you're purified. Amen. Keep reading though. We're not done. Watch this. Having been born again. Say born again. Is that past tense? Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Guess what? We're back to that. Holiness is in you in totality, but it's in seed form. That means it's a process. We're all the way back, full circle. We were talking about this back in August, and we really didn't get the chance to finish that. Other things happened, and we had to get off of that seed time and harvest series that we were doing. We're back to that, and guess what? It applies to holiness. The absolute blueprint for your life and holiness is in you in seed form. That is rich. Oh, glory to Jesus. And the word incorruptible refers to something that is incapable of decay or something that is incapable of suffering the effects of wear, tear, and age. Ooh, you cannot wear that out. That holiness is permanent in you. I said it's permanent. You can't do so many wrong things that God says, that's it, give me that back. Yeah, I'm done with you. It's never that way, ever. God only sees us in our realized potential, which is that seed in full fruition. Golly, man. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Wow. So we're back to the seed thing. It's a process, right? Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge. Part of that enrichment is his holiness. That's part of it, right? You're enriched in how many things? All things. Amen. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Ooh, there it is. He's holy, right? He's righteous. It's confirmed in you. You know what the word confirmed means? It means to make firm, concrete, stable, to verify, to prove to be true. That's what it means. It's confirmed. Who's confirming you? Jesus. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will, look at this, now we're talking future, who will also confirm you to the end. He's going to verify you to the end. That end there, to me, just sounds terminal. That you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What are we talking about? That sounds like holiness to me. You got to remember, this is just a few verses after he said, be holy, for I'm holy. Isn't that what he said? It's the same chapter. The revelation came to me. I'm like, oh, that's right, it's in seed form. And I started digging. I'm like, it's just a couple of verses later. Just keep reading the chapter. There it is. It's in seed form. Holiness is in you. So that word end, again, it sounds kind of terminal. It's the word telos. And it really means finale. You ever watch a series or something and then you're building up to the finale or the culmination? It's when you find out who really did whatever, right? You see the conclusion of a thing. That's what this is. Jesus is going to confirm us and verify that you're holy all the way up to the very culmination of the fruition of that seed of holiness in you. Man, whew. Rick Renner puts it this way, ripeness, maturity. So it's not, dun, 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 dun. We're talking about when the fruit is ripe. He's working on us. We're talking about a process, and we're in that process. And as we're in that process, the fruit is maturing. And then it reaches its ripeness. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Go over to Matthew chapter 10. So God's holiness, again, when you look at holiness, if you bring that up, I was even reluctant to maybe even call this series holiness because I thought some people, maybe they're looking on Facebook and they see the title. Like, no, thank you. I don't think I want to hear that. Because again, we're always thinking, that's too hard. I can't measure up. You know, that's easy to say, but who can do that? None of us can. Right? So what I need to do is get into the compartment of process and realize all that I need is in me. He's given me everything that pertains to life and to godliness. And it's through the knowledge. See, lights are coming on. That's what's good. The enemy wants you to stay short and think that no. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to stop doing this and stuff. That's all where your holiness comes from. Not so. The holiness is already there. All I need to do is just keep getting closer to him and just allow that process, allow that seed to keep producing in me. And as it does, I will gravitate. It will be almost effortless. I just have to stay engaged in the process with him. And it is a process. And let me tell you something. Listen to me real good. Any ministry that is void of process, you need to run away from it. Are you hearing me? Because there's a lot of ministry. No, it's already done. Well, yeah, by faith, but you got to be in a process in order to realize it, in order to see the fruit of it happen. Are you with me? Process, process. That means you can't just say your sinner's prayer and, whoo, that's it, I'm all good. No, you're righteous and everything is set right, but now we need to be discipled, right? We need to be in a process of developing. We need to have our minds in the process of renewing. In fact, in Hebrews, it talks about the saving of the soul. We've been perfected, those who are being, present tense, sanctified, set apart. It's a process. It's a process. Isn't that good news? And it takes the pressure off. Really, all I need to do is wake up and go, Daddy, what do you want to do today? Let's just hang out. Can we hang out today? All right. And yes, we have responsibilities and things that pull on us and obligations to different things that we need to take care of, but let's do it with him. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't leave us, so why would we check out on him? Right? Oh, now I got to go be carnal for a little bit. No, keep him with you. He's on the line. So we don't hang up on God. And I cannot tell you how many times, especially at the school, just discernment. He's telling me things, so I'll know a backstory. And not so I can go up and talk to him about it and impress him. Ooh, I got a word for you. You know, none of that. Just so I'll pray for him. I'm thinking this one boy, and his dad is dealing with stage 4 cancer. In fact, his parents are on a bucket list trip right now, and he's struggling. I try to talk to him a little bit, but I know how to pray. I know he's struggling. He doesn't want to admit that. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. Yeah, fine, good. But you discern, and I'm telling you, it's all part of it, so that you might be in a checkout line somewhere, and all of a sudden, you just have a knowing about something, and the Lord just prompts you to just tell him, you know what, I just feel like I need to say this to you. God is, he likes you. He wants you to know he likes who you are. Watch what happens. Be available for that. So what are we doing? We're in a process of life. We're in a process with him. Did you find Matthew yet? You guys are pulling so good. Matthew 10, Jesus is speaking in verse 22, and he says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Bless his holy name. How many of you want to stop there? Let's have an altar call. Let me back up, because I was talking about the school. They call me Pastor Wade, and I kind of got them calling me PW. I think that's a little better. That's what they used to call me in youth group. What I'm aware of is how people treat you different because you're a holy man of God. And so I cannot tell you how much I hate that. I don't like that. I don't like it. I'm telling you, I don't like it. I don't like it. Without Julie, I'm not quite as silly. But when we're together, I can get a little bit more playful, and people will be shocked at some of the things that come out of my mouth. In fact, I did this the other day. One of the girls was going to sing at their chapel on Wednesday, so I volunteered to play for them and stuff. So I brought the guitar in, and while I'm warming up, I'm over there playing Led Zeppelin for them. I'm going, come on, sing, you know. And they're like, holy man. It's like, whatever. Stop it. I cannot stand that. I do not like that. How did I get on that? But anyway. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Man, how does religion read that? You better white knuckle this thing. You better do what you know to do or you're out. No, that's not what he's saying. He who endures, the word endures just means to stay under, remain. Don't quit. Do not quit. That's what he's talking about. And the word end is the same word. Just stay in there until your fruit ripens. That's what he's saying. If you'll stay in there till your fruit ripens, you're going to experience sozo, wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. It's fruit. I'm so tired of religion. Man, I got help. My head is tingling for sure. Yeah, am I growing hair? I mean, this is incredible what's going on. The word endure conveys the idea of being steadfast, consistent, unwavering, and unflinching. It's the attitude that declares, I don't care how heavy the load gets or how much pressure I'm under, I'm not budging one inch. That's what endure means. In fact, this word also is translated patience in some place. Patient endurance, and it's not passive resignation to fate. You know, and you hear religion, oh, don't pray for patience. You got patience. If you have the Holy Spirit, you've got the patience of God in you. And it's an active, energetic resistance to weariness. Anybody gotten weary? Patience will hold you up. When there's no natural reason for you to be standing, patience has got you. It's an active word. Not just hang on. Patience is awesome. And you already have it. I don't pray for patience. I just thank him for it. Now, if you read in James chapter 1, you have to let patience have its perfect work. Some people forfeit their patience, or they just act like it's not there. I don't need that. But patience will hold you up. It's not the absence of circumstances. It's keeping you fortified and standing when everything around you looks like it's going wrong. It keeps you there. I've had to use patience the past couple of years. I've had to believe God. You know, I was thinking of Jim Caseman. And I was ordained with AFCM for a number of years. Jim Caseman is a solid man of God. He's one of the most consistent people I've ever met in the family of God. And I've watched him, and I know what it cost him. There was a church that was one of their main churches, and they got into some weird doctrine. I probably shouldn't say names. Jim Caseman's like the word guy. He ministers the word. And then he had this lady that was with him who is very prophetic. Very prophetic. And they had been together, I think, 30 years. It was like word and spirit. Every time they would come together, you're talking spirit and revelation. It was potent. What a team it was. It was just a powerful team. Well, something happened with one of the bigger churches, and this other prophetess began to get into some error, and Jim Caseman would not bend. He called him on the carpet about it and said, what is this I hear? Tell me about this. That church is probably one of their biggest supporters. They would tithe, and we're talking millions of dollars, big church. Jim Caseman said, have you changed your position? They said, no. And he said, okay. And he parted ways. That's the integrity of a man. I was thinking about that. And it blessed me because I've had to go through some of that. People, they wanted me to compromise. They wanted me to do something that was outside of what's right. And you can't. If you compromise, you lose. You lose. I got to live with me. Patience keeps you there, keeps you locked into this thing. Just stay on task. Stay on task. Jesus, when he went to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he sees all these people crying, he got angry. He got so mad, he started crying. It says Jesus wept, John 11:35, right? He's so angry. He says he groaned in the spirit. You want to talk about tempted? He was tempted in all points like us. I'm thinking, what would I have said? I'm there to raise Lazarus from the dead. Wait till you see what I get ready to do right here. You're going to be so sorry you said that. That's how I would have been tempted. Anybody else? But he didn't. He just internalized it. Where have you laid him? He just stayed on task. And that's what we're doing as a church, people. We are staying on task. We are staying on task. Do I like using somebody else's building? No. I want us to have our own. There's something about that. And we will. Amen. We will. It's coming. Glory to God. It's coming. I want you to know, Tina, from where I sit at the Key to Learning in the loft, there's a window at the top, and I can see that building. Out that window. I can see it. I'm sitting right there, and I just speak to it every time I think about it. I'm calling that in. Amen. Glory to God. Holiness is a promise of process. Did you hear that? Holiness is a promise of process. And God will complete it. He's faithful to complete it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it. He will cause it to come to full fruition. Isn't that powerful? But it's a process, so relax. Did I say you couldn't sin anymore? No, we all know we can, right? We know we can fly off the handle and lose it, right? I had to repent to one of the teens this past week. He made me mad. He was mocking what I was doing. I had him read. I'm using PowerPoint, so he's reading, and he starts pounding the table and going, hallelujah, you know, like this. And I was like, I mean, something came on me, and it didn't feel holy. I groaned in the spirit and swallowed that down, but a little bit later, I said something kind of nasty to him, and I had to call him over later and said, I'm really sorry I should have said that, because I got convicted, you know what I mean? I was lashing out at him. So we're still human. We still have these tendencies, but that doesn't mean that I aborted the seed, right? The seed is incorruptible. Holiness is in you. It's incorruptible. Just stay with it. Stay with it. Though the righteous fall seven times in a day, they get up. They get back up. Get back up. Get back up. You only lose if you quit. Do not grow weary. Yeah, Tony can admit, right? What we thought was 2 or 3 months was 8 months. Glory to God. The employed, Tony Albert, is in the back. He's in the house today. Glory to God. Praise God. Go over to Psalm 29. I don't have this on the overhead, but who has the New Living Translation? Psalm 29, and I want you to read verse 2. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The splendor of his holiness. His holiness is a good thing. This is one of the reasons we should run to him and not be afraid of him. Religion has made holiness a reason to shrink away from God. We should run to him. We meet all of who he is. Amen? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, did you get anything out of that? Thank you, Lord.